message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
Okay, we're certainly glad to have you with us today as we come again to study the Word of God together. We're going to look again at Romans chapter number 6. And we've been here a time or two already, but we want to kind of deal with the issue in the latter part of the chapter here today. Romans chapter 6 begins a three-chapter section in the book of Romans where the Apostle Paul deals with the Christian life and how God has designed the believer as a member of the church, the body of Christ, to live in time for His glory. Now, you know, a lot of folks say, "Well, sure, I'm a believer. I'm not a heathen, and I'm a Christian because I'm born in a Christian nation and all that kind of stuff." We're not talking about that, and you know that. If you're a Bible student, you know that we're not talking about religion. We're not talking about just who you are by natural birth, you know. We're not talking about the kind of things that religion gained for you or that education gains for you or that you inherit. We're talking about people who've put their personal faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're personally chosen to rely exclusively upon Him. They've made Him their Savior by faith in Christ Jesus. That is, they've come to understand that when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, He died to pay for everything that's wrong with them, that God Himself, the Creator of heaven and earth, loved you enough to not just create you, but to redeem you from the plight of self-will and sin. And when we put our faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ that He accomplished for us at Calvary, when He died to pay for what's wrong with us, when He was buried, and then He was raised again the third day to be the author of eternal life, when we trusted Him, then we're part of the family of God. We've had some wonderful things happen to us, and we've seen in the book of Romans, as Paul lays down very carefully that first foundation principle of grace, justified by grace through faith plus nothing, the issue of justification, having God's righteousness given to us, not something we have to go attain, something that we have to strive to do, but something God gives us as a free gift. And once we have His righteousness, He then gives us His life. And that life that He places on deposit in us is designed, has designed and equipped us to live on a daily basis. You see, it's the Christian life. It's the Christian walk. It's the Christian's progression through life. And that issue, and Romans 6 begins to deal with some details that have to do with the second foundation principle of grace, and that is how the Christian life functions on a daily basis. The life that you're going to have for all eternity, the eternal life that lasts forever throughout the ages of eternity in heaven and beyond, is ours right now. And we've been studying Romans 6 and seeing how that life works and the program of God's grace and the principle of His grace. And that's the issue here in Romans 6, verse 14. We've been talking to you about sin and how God has designed your life in Christ. To when Jesus Christ died, He put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And how He's made us free from the dominion and the power and the control of sin. And that's true that oftentimes we fail, but we're not bound by our failures as believers. We're not bound by the sins of the past. We're not bound by the fears of the future. Romans 6:14, he says, "For we are not under the law, but we're under grace. For sin, listen, shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace." Now, a lot of people quote the first part of that verse, or the last part of it, rather, "For you're not under the law, but under grace." That's a very popular expression, you know. "Well, I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. I don't have to do this, I can do that," that kind of thing. And that's why we don't go to church on Saturday, on the Sabbath day. We go on the first day of the week. We're not under the law program. We're under the grace program. We're not a part of the nation Israel. We're not a part of God's program for the nation Israel. And that program in time past to the nation Israel under the law is not the way God deals with us today. You're not Israel, and neither am I. And if you were Israel, it wouldn't be of any value to you because God isn't operating Israel's program today. Rather, He's operating the dispensation of grace, and that's why He says we're not under the law but under grace. But the verse isn't talking about the program of grace. It's talking about the principle of grace and the power of God's grace in the details of our life because of what it is. For he says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. In other words, the reason that sin doesn't have dominion over you is because God deals with you on the basis of grace, not the law. And the reason that he deals with you on the basis of grace and not the law is so that sin would not have dominion in your life. So your life wouldn't be run and controlled and dominated by failure. We've talked to you in the past about how that God doesn't desire for us today to identify and to define ourselves by our failures. If you define yourself by your failures today, then you're making a tremendous mistake. God identifies us by who he has made us in Christ. If you're saved today, listen, if you're a Christian today and you're seeking to live the Christian life, you're finding out what all of us have found out, and that it's an absolute impossibility to live the Christian life. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The only person in all of the universe that can live the Christian life is Jesus Christ. And that's why he has put his life in us, so that he in us can live through us for his own glory. And God defines us today not by our failures and not by our shortcomings, but by who he has made us in Christ. That's what grace is all about. Now, if sin isn't going to have dominion in your life, if you name your own sin, I mean, I can name a long list of them, and you can pick out which ones it are. The Bible does that over and over again. But your own failures, and you know what they are. You know how they go. I'm not talking about blaming somebody else. I'm talking about your own. I'm not talking about what you can blame somebody else for not having done that excuses you for doing what you did. I'm talking about your failures. You see, grace allows you to look at your failure square in the face and not have to play the Genesis 3 game, not have to play the blame shifting, shift the blame to someone else as Adam did to Eve and Eve did to the serpent, not to try to avoid accountability as Adam and Eve did when they hid in among the trees. They hid from God because they were afraid, not to try to think up performance systems to help you get around God as they did when they sowed the fig leaves. All of the different avoidance techniques that we develop, you know, to try to avoid accountability. Grace says, just come be accountable because I've taken care of them. And what that does is it releases the power of sin. It releases the power of our failures over us. It releases the shame that we feel for them. It gets us out from under the law and puts us under grace. Now, it's important to understand the difference between living under the law and living under grace, because it's as we live under the grace principle that sin doesn't have dominion over you. But if you live under the law principle, sin is going to run your life. You remember what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, that the strength of sin is the law. You see, the law is a set of rules and regulations and standards that require your obedience. And the problem with you and me is that we can't keep those things. If you come back with me to Exodus chapter number 19, there is a verse back here when God gave the law to the nation Israel, wherein he establishes and explains what the law principle is all about. For example, in Exodus chapter 19, verse number 5, Moses says to the nation Israel, now then, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my commandments, then you should be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Notice the formula. The formula of the law is if you keep my commandments, then you shall be. That is, if you do, then you'll get. That is what we call a performance system. You perform. By the way, this if-then system is the model of modern psychology, behavioralism. If you perform, then you get the blessing. If you don't perform, then you're going to get the curse. What the law does is the law gives a system of rules and regulations. The law gives commandments, and the law gives a set of rules and regulations. And here you are, and you look at those rules and regulations, and the law says, look, If you're going to get the blessing up here, here's the blessing. Here's the thing that you're looking for. You're looking to be blessed. You're looking for me to accept you. Now this can be your law, your law, God's law, is anybody else's law. This can be a relationship between you and God, you and your wife, or you and your husband, you and your kids, you and your employer, you and yourself. Where we practice this most often is between us and God, us and ourselves, and us and our spouse. You know that? And you can do life, you can run life this way. Here's the way legalism works. You don't have to, this doesn't have to be in anywhere you do this, anywhere you require acceptance and blessing to be given on the basis of someone doing things, set up a standard of expectation and require their performance in order to get the blessing. A performance system that is a system of conditional blessings, blessings conditioned on the performance of the receiver. And it uses fear and greed and guilt as motivators. And what does the law say? Here are the rules. Here are the expectations. You do what I expect you to do, and I'll give you the blessing. I'll accept you, I'll love you, and I'll give you that which you seek. If you fail to do what I tell you, and you don't do them, then I'm going to give you the curse. The curse is yours, brother. I'm going to destroy you, and here comes the curse. And that system right there, that is legalism. That's what it's all about. You take it, for example, in relationship to you and your spouse. You expect certain things. I had a man one time. Husbands and wives expect strange things of one another. I had a couple, they're dear friends of mine, and they won't mind me telling you about this because you won't know who they are anyway. He and his wife came to me one day, and they were ready to split. I mean, she'd had enough. She didn't want to live with the guy anymore. She's tired of him. And he was about ready to let her go. And they came to me as their pastor, and they said, "We got to have help." And I said, "Well, what's the matter?" And she said, "He hit me, and I'm not going to live with a man that hit me and abusive to me like that." And I said, "Whoa, well, that's very uncharacteristic of him. What's the matter?" He says, "Well, she won't put the food when I come home from work. I want the meal ready when I come in, and I want my plate hot. I want a hot plate." And I thought he was talking about some one of these burners, where you warm up food. It took me a while to even figure out what he wanted. He wanted the plate upon which the food was put for his evening meal to be hot. Now, I'll be honest with you, I'd never heard of that before. But it makes sense. It keeps the food from being cold. It was the way he liked it. And he said, "She won't do that." And I looked at her and said, "Well, why don't you do that?" She said, "Well, it's just a problem." She said, "I got a kid, I got this, I got that." And I mean, if he wants the plate hot, let him go and run it on some hot water before he serves himself or something, you know. And I mean, this couple, he had an expectation. Was it reasonable? Well, I don't know if it's reasonable or not. That's between them. But he had an expectation of her that she wasn't meeting. And so rather than being loving and kind and forgiving and accepting and going on, you know what he did? He built up resentment. Colossians 3, Paul says, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." And mister, that's a problem you're going to have with your wife, because she's going to frustrate you, because as a man, you're never going to understand her. I mean, you're wired different than she is, and you're going to have expectations, and she a lot of times isn't even going to know what your expectations are, and other times she's going to know them and not be able to live up to them. And you know what? That young couple had, because she wasn't meeting those expectations and he wasn't meeting her expectations, they came to blows. Well, I mean, anger had spilled over in the relationship, and they lived under a performance system. We do that with our spouses, you know. We want them to perform, we want them to do the way we want to, and we become angry when they don't. And more often than not, anger is simply fear in disguise. More often, if you have an angry disposition or an angry nature, more often than not, the anger is just simply the fear that you have binding you and exploding. More often than not, anger is simply fear. Fear based upon this desiring to get this. I'm not going to get my needs met. I'm not going to be loved. I'm not going to be accepted. I'm not going to have my needs met unless you perform. And I'm afraid of missing this, so I've got to demand that you perform. And you put the screws on your spouse to get them to perform, lest your needs not be met. Well, we do that with God. We think God sets up a bunch of commandments. He gave Israel 10 of them. Do them, and you'll get blessing. I'll love you. I'll accept you. You'll fulfill my purpose for you. If you fail, you get the curse. You'll die. I'll be angry with you. You'll wind up losing the blessing. That's the law. That's the way the law works. Now, Paul said you're not under that system. Listen, anytime you find yourself living in your relationship with the Lord, in your relationship with your spouse, or in your relationship with yourself, under that system, you know what you're doing? You're living under the law, and that system is a system that is generated by your flesh. God, the Holy Spirit, never leads anyone in the dispensation of grace to live under this kind of a system. Galatians 5, verse 18, Paul says, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. The flesh, not the Spirit of God. Anytime you deal with yourself, with God, with your spouse, with anyone else on the basis of a performance system, and if you perform, then I'll love you, then I'll accept you, then I'll bless you, then there'll be... Anytime you do that, that isn't God leading you to do that. You've got an objective standard here, folks. Your Bible is an objective standard by which you can know whether God's working or if God isn't working. And God says, if you're led of the Spirit, you won't be led to do and think that way. How will the Spirit of God lead you to act? Well, we're not under the law, but we're under grace. What is he talking about? Folks, we've already seen here, grace is all that God is free to do for us through the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary, when he died to pay for our sins, was buried, and raised again the third day for our justification. Grace has to do with what God has accomplished to us. Grace says that God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Grace says that God has justified us freely through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Grace, by grace you say, grace is what God has accomplished. Grace is something that God has given. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the dispensation of grace, God Almighty up here, and God looks down. And when God looks down, he looks down here, and here I am down here. And when God looks at me today, God doesn't look at me through my performance and the things that I'm doing, but God looks at me through the work of his Son at Calvary. And what Jesus Christ has won for me there, when he died for me, and he was buried, and he raised again the third day, he took my sin, and he became the sacrifice and the payment, and he paid my sin debt. And he paid the debt fully and freely and completely. And then God raised him from the dead. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. I don't have to go over here and try to perform to get rid of things and to add things, to take things away and to add things on. Jesus Christ took away sin by the sacrifice of himself and then was raised again the third day in order to give me a gift. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. That's the key. That's the grace principle. You know what happens when you give somebody a gift? They say what? Thanks. Isn't that what you teach your kids? Do you ever have your kids, get a present, at Christmas time or something? Grandma gave them a gift, and I remember one time my kids got a gift, a couple of gifts from a grandparent and an aunt, and it was they got these gifts and they opened them and they looked up and they said, is that all? you want to pinch their head off when they do that, don't you? Why? That's not gratitude. Somebody gives you something, what do you teach your children to say? Well, the same thing they ought to say. Thank you. You know what that is? That's gratitude. That's gratitude. You know what happens? That generates love, doesn't it? gratitude, love, thanksgiving. You know what will stop sin in your life? Folks telling you to go do something, they're never going to stop sin. You know why? Because you can't stop it. Romans chapter number 8, the Apostle Paul tells us the truth about ourselves. In Romans chapter 8, verse 3, he says, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh." You see that? This system's a weak system. Why is it weak? There's weakness over here. The weakness is in you and me, folks, because we can't do. You know what it is to live over here? It's to live under a system where you always know you're going to fail. So you know what you do? You try to cover it up. You try to hide it. You try to deny it. You try to blame somebody else. You try to act like it isn't there. You try to rename it. You try to do anything you can to make it not be what it really is. God says, the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. It's the gift by grace. God Almighty comes over here and He says, look at here. I'm going to bless you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in my Son, in Christ. I'm gonna give you everything I got right there, and I'm going to give it to you as a gift, and it's yours free. The motivation then is just thank you. You know what you have over here? You have a motivation system, fear. Fear of punishment. I better go do what God wants me to do, or He's going to give me a cold shoulder. And I won't get my prayers answered. Or maybe He'll be angry at me, and He'll strike back at me and make me sick. Or I'll go through some kind of financial ruin or reversal or some personal tragedy because He'll be angry at me, and I'm afraid, and I fear the punishment. I fear His rejection. Fear being out of fellowship, a barrier up between Him giving me the silent treatment. It all comes down to false humility that we call shame, false guilt. And that's that feeling of shame and self-hatred and fear and worthlessness. Did you ever want to say, it'll never work for me? That's that thing right there, folks. This over here is entirely different. It's God Almighty's done it for me. Wow! Look at what He did. And now I can go and serve, not on the basis of trying to get the blessing, but on the basis of who He already has made me. Look at what God's done for me. You know what you do when you get a gift? Somebody gives you a gift. One of my boys had a birthday just a few days ago. His mother got a present, wrapped it up, put it on the table. He got up in the morning and came to the table, and we sang happy birthday to him and gave him the gift. Now he took that gift, and you know what he did with it? Well, he didn't take that gift into his room and sit it on his dresser and say, man, that is the most beautiful wrapping paper I've ever seen. And I remember what my mother told me. She told me never to tear up a wrapping paper and never to, always to save the bow. So I'm not gonna open it. I'm not going to disturb it. I'm just going to put it there and admire it. That isn't what he did with it. And if that had been what he'd done with it, we'd have got a little upset with him because we had bought him something that he wanted and we wanted him to have. You know what he did? Why, he tore the paper off, threw it on the floor, threw the bow away, opened up the box, got out what we gave him, and took it and spent the rest of the day enjoying it and still, right now, has a great time with it. You know what that is? That's exactly what we wanted him to do with it, was to enjoy it. You know what God does? He gives you the gift of everlasting life. He says, now here, it's yours. Take the gift. You know what Christian people do? They take it and sit it on the mantle and note it. No, you get into it. You see, the Christian life, God doesn't have a plan A and a plan B. He only has plan A. He only has one plan. That's a plan of absolute, complete, total victory in the Lord Jesus Christ for you and me. Living under the system of the law brings failure. Living under the system of grace provides victory. The law says, don't sin, but you do it anyway because you're a sinner. Grace provides victory for you because it gives you life in Christ Jesus. You take the gift of eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that gift then provides life for us. The Christian life is just a matter of getting, opening up the package. How do you do that? Folks, that's what you get in the Word of God about. It has to do with opening up the package of the Word of God, getting into the Word of God, finding out what God has given you in Christ, finding out about the fact that He's blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Finding out about the fact that he's blessed you with the blessing of forgiveness. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He's given you victory over sin. He's given you a purpose. You see, the needs of your heart have been met. You need to be loved. You need to be accepted. You need to be forgiven. You need to have purpose and meaning in life. And those needs have been met in Christ. And now He sets you free to go out and serve on the basis of who He has made you in Christ. Not to try to gain the status, but because that's who you are. That's what grace does. Grace makes you totally and sufficiently complete by giving you a new identity in the person of His Son. You're not under the law, but you're under grace. Listen, sin shall not have dominion over you because this isn't the way you work. That is, our Christian life is based upon the wonderful truth of all that God has accomplished for us through the work of His Son at Calvary. And it's our faith resting in the facts of Calvary that allows the Holy Spirit the liberty and the freedom to take those facts and put them into operation in our lives as we walk by faith in God's Word. Until next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, Law and Grace, What's the Difference? It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during regular business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 271. That's tape offer number 271. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we're happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. We're happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That is again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another message of grace.